The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
We go. Great. Hello, hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to Happy Hour. Delighted to be with you. Delighted to be back. And just having said hello and shared our goodwill with the Sangha and received one another is our way of warming the space with kindness. So maybe one story I want to share to set the as a preamble for our practice today together is this. So on the journey that I was on for the past couple of weeks, of visiting many of the sites where the Buddha was born and in Nepal, in Lumbini, Nepal, where he awakened under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, where he died, etc., etc. One of the sites was actually quite touching for me, and I want to bring that story in, because it's quite relevant to our practice here at Happy Hour, the practices of the heart. So many of you might have heard the story, and I certainly have heard it before, but relating it to in a different way, that the Buddha was, before he became enlightened, he was practicing austerities. He was basically starving himself, apparently living on one grain of rice per day, and really mortifying himself. And at the time, he was a young man, about 35 years old, and he was really, enlightenment or bust. So, and as we can see that sometimes in our own youth or in our youthfulness, that we push. So he almost died, sleeping on nails, not eating, standing on one foot, just doing these really ascetic practices that he had learned from his teachers before finding the way. And sitting in caves where there was no light, no nature, no support of the beauty of nature. And then he feels that this is not the way. So he walks out and he passes out at some point in a town, Urela, if I remember the name right. Anyway, and as he passes out from hunger, being emaciated, he's given rice pudding by a young girl, a 13-year-old girl called Sujata. And basically he survives because of the kindness, because of the compassion of this young woman. And hearing the story, something else revealed itself to me. So imagining if you were the Buddha, if you were this human being who's really determined to wake up to find answers to this existential angst of what is this life? What is this thing? You know, we are born, we age, we die, we suffer, there's love, there's loss, and you're so determined and you're really going at it wholeheartedly and with steel-like determination, and yet you're almost it's wrong-headed, and yet you receive compassion and kindness, you receive tenderness, you receive this loving care from a young woman, a 13-year-old woman, the way of food. And it's probably not just the food that he received, the rice pudding that we read about and the story goes, but just the compassionate way of treating him that he decides this is not the way. Starving myself is not the way. And whatever the path is, there needs to be contentment, there needs to be joy, there needs to be gladness, there needs to be all of these wholesome states as a part of my awakening. And then after he receives the food and then he goes to Bodh Gaya and sits under the Bodhi tree and determines to wake up, and there's more stories there. But But this juncture of receiving this gift of kindness, compassion, is something happens to him. His heart opens, he shifts, he changes. It's transformative. This generosity he receives, this love, this care he receives, it shifts him. So if it wasn't for the love, for the generosity, for the kindness, compassion of Sujata, this 13-year-old girl, 2,700 years ago, we wouldn't be here now practicing loving kindness. We wouldn't be practicing metta or karuna, compassion. So that's where it goes back to, and that's really touching to me. That personally deeply touches me that he survived because of that act of compassion. So I want to offer this reflection, which is an insight for me from this journey that I've been on, really connecting his awakening to the act of compassion that he received. And for us, what acts of compassion, what acts of love and generosity can we offer ourselves to unlock this shift, this transformation in ourselves and in others in the world in ways that we cannot even imagine the impact that it might have, not just immediately, but for decades, for centuries to come. It's a pretty powerful reflection. Sujata may not have known that just stopping, not ignoring this guy who's almost passed out and dying in the robes and emaciated. But she stopped. She stopped. So I'd like to offer that for our reflection. Okay. I've said enough. So let's meditate together with that nourishing our hearts and minds. So let's arrive in our bodies, arriving in this seat, arriving in this moment in time, here and now, here and now, softening, relaxing the body. And with the next out breath, relaxing the body some more, letting go of any tension we might be holding in our jaw, our forehead, around the eyes, neck and shoulders, our hands, our arms, our chest, abdomen, sit bones. Upper legs, knees, lower legs, and feet, relaxing, softening the whole body. At the next out breath, here, here. And allowing the breath to move in the body. In breath and out breath. Receiving the in breath, receiving the out breath. If you find that mind is wandering to thoughts, past, present, future, be kind to your mind. Oh, dear mind. Oh, dear puppy running around here and there. Come, come sit, sweetheart. Come, be with the breath. It's calm, it's nourishing here. It's all okay. Resting with the breath, just this breath, as we settle the mind and get ready. Tilling the soil, one breath at a time. And I'd like to invite you. If you would imagine that you are the Buddha, you're this human being, as if you were this human being who had the aspiration, just as you have the aspiration to wake up, to have more freedom, to be kind and wise. He had this aspiration. As if you were the Buddha and you had been practicing so hard, so hard. Perhaps not wisely. You're weak, tired. You're walking and you fall. You pass out. So weak. Your life is hanging on a thread. And someone cares to stop and feed you, nourish you. Not just nourish your belly, but nourish your heart with kindness, with care, with compassion. Imagine what it feels like. Receive this kind of wholesome compassion, kindness. How would you be impacted? How would you be affected? Perhaps you open your eyes and you see this young girl feeding you with care, with concern, with compassion in her eyes and through her actions. And you let yourself receive. You let yourself be grateful for it. And later say that this was one of the two most significant meals of your life. What does it feel like to receive? What does it feel like to receive this kindness, this generosity? How might it inspire you? How might you be inspired receiving this kind of generosity, kindness, compassion? Might you be inspired to pass it on, to be of service to others, to be compassionate to others? Might it inspire you to gratitude? Feel for yourself. You're a human being, just like the Buddha was. Kindness, generosity, compassion begets generosity, kindness, compassion. Let yourself receive and be touched, moved by it, impacted, opened by it. And perhaps it reminds you of an act of kindness, compassion, support that you have received in your life. Unexpectedly, when you really needed it. An act of care. Let yourself feel the impact of it in your own heart. Let yourself be moved. This is the priming of metta, of kindness. Of wholesome states of heart. When we taste, when we really let ourselves savor and taste the receiving of generosity, kindness, compassion. When we let ourselves savor and feel, be moved by how powerful it is to receive, it becomes easier to want to offer it to others. Because we feel other people's pain, we want to give them kindness, compassion. Be generous with them. So let yourself be moved, impacted, pierced by this act of receiving compassion in your own mind, in your heart. Whom can I reach out to offer care, kindness, and compassion? Receiving, receiving as primer for giving compassion and kindness. Let yourself lean into whatever feels more appropriate in this practice. Lean into receiving or lean into offering. See what's most supportive right now for you. And as we turn to bring this period of sitting together to a close, let yourself have kindness, generosity towards yourself. Whatever happened or did not happen, it's okay. You've done your best. Letting go of expectations and appreciating that you showed up and you showed up at this time, in this place. Appreciating your wholesome intention, your actions. Trusting that wholesome seeds of kindness, generosity, compassion have been planted, and that they will flourish in their own time. You've planted seeds. That's all we can do. Plant seeds. And let us share the goodness of our coming together and turning our hearts and minds towards kindness, generosity, and compassion with all beings everywhere. May our practice be a cause and condition for the awakening, for freedom, for well-being of all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for your practice. So good to practice to sit in community. So good. So I would like to invite us, if you would, to practice in small community. And engage with our Sangha, with our community. And with the question, with the reflection of this story of Sujata's generosity and the impact it had on the Buddha to decide to realize that this is not the way, starving myself, austerities are not the way. But really how this generosity, how kindness, generosity, compassion can impact us. And maybe you had a memory of an act of generosity you have received and how that might have inspired you to share your resources, your kindness with others. So that is the reflection to engage. And the format, as always, is in small groups. There will be about three people, and the invitation is for you to share your reflection for your own sake. You're not trying to educate or impress anyone. You're just speaking out loud. Well, wow, this really impacted me in this following way. I realized something tonight. Or maybe, well, tonight I was sleepy and my mind was distracted, but I decided to be generous to myself and not beat myself up, or whatever it might be. You're exploring for your own sake out loud and letting others hold you witness. And if you're holding witness, that's all you're doing. You're not asking questions. You're not offering advice. You're not interrogating. You're just holding witness. That's all you're doing. Compassionate witness. So no questions, no interruptions, no advice giving. So important to create this kind of a community. You don't have to make it better. You just hold witness. This is really maha practice. This is a very high practice to just hold compassionate witness for one another without trying to interrupt and get ourselves in the middle. So take it as a practice. Take your sharing as a practice. Take your interacting with one another, holding space as a practice. So the first person will go reverse alphabetical order according to first name. And you have the option to share maybe a few words, reflections for your own sake, and then the next person, and the next person comes to you can say pass, and then you'll go around and round. It'll be a spiral. You'll get the chance to perhaps share a few reflections. Make sure everybody gets the chance to speak if they want to, and then maybe at the end you can have some time for debrief about how you've been impacted again by your own experience. So I'm going to create the breakout rooms. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to one another. And yeah, it's so special to have Sangha community to practice with. So here we go. I'm going to open the rooms. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Here we go. I'm going to restart it. There we go. Oh, Bill, I see your hand, please. There you go.
Hello.
Hi.
During the metta practice, it hit me very emotionally, and it's I almost wonder this. I guess this is doubt, because what I wonder is just when the emotions just starts to get just overwhelming, does it cross a line to where it isn't meditation? Because I'm crying and just not able to, you know. Anyway, that's the question, and I've articulated about as well as I can.
Yeah, and
So.
Actually, wait, okay, stay with me. This is very important, not just for you, Bill. Actually, this is a question that comes up for all of us as practitioners. So thank you so much for the courage to bring this up, because we do get emotional, especially when particular practices sometimes really, really touch us in the heart, and tears flow, and tears flow. It touches something deep in us, and tears flow. So, what is the wise response, right, to the tears flowing? It really depends. It really depends. So when tears are flowing, if it's a sense of you mentioned overwhelm, is it that the emotion is so, is it grief that's coming up? Are we meeting it with kindness in that moment? So it really depends on how we meet whatever comes up in that moment. Do we meet it with self-flagellation? Oh, I'm not a good meditator. Now I've lost. Yeah, so how is it being met? If it's being met with kindness, then it's still within the realm of practice. You're practicing compassion in that moment. If it is being met, if we're veering into grief and just overwhelm and self-pity, then we've left the realm of practice. We've gone into self-pity. I'm not hearing you saying that, but I'm just speaking about a range of what might be happening. But if we're meeting the tears, if we're meeting the challenging emotions that are coming up with kindness and care and compassion, like, oh, sweetheart, this is hard, or this has been hard, or wow, this is overwhelming, or wow, this really touches me deeply. I'm really deeply moved. We're meeting it. We're meeting it in the moment with awareness, mindfulness, and with kindness. So it's still within the realm of practice. Does that help, Bill?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for bringing that into the space. Jamie.
You know, I had two groupies tonight who just demonstrated such awareness of themselves and such careful observation of things that had happened around them recently. It was just really a gift to be in their company for a while. So thank you, small groupies.
Oh, sweet. Thank you so much, Amy. Wow. Sangha is powerful. to be, yeah, and to have the really the privilege to be with folks who are, as you said, observing, kind, and allowing you to hold witness. It's a gift, such a privilege. Thanks for bringing this in. Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, beautiful. Any other reflections from tonight's practice, maybe from the meditation or also from the group, any aha moments, any challenges, anything, any complaints? Bring it on. We have a few more minutes. And also, if you're new to Happy Hour, we'd love to hear from you. Marianne.
I was sad to see that I couldn't allow myself to kind of even believe it and to go there and to open up my heart to what happened. So, but it was good, I think, to see that happening. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank you, Marianne. I appreciate. Yeah. And it also takes so much uprightness, just as you shared, like, oh yeah, to see this is what happened. It's sad in some ways, and yet, oh wow, I'm glad. I'm so touched actually by you, Marianne. I'm touched by you, by your courage also, by your clarity to say, oh yeah, there was sadness arising and there was clarity arising that, oh, I get to see this. How great that I get to see. I get to see how what's happening here. And as we know, with mindfulness, we get to see the when we see something, that is the first step for it to shift and open and be transformed by itself. It's really the light of awareness, the light of mindfulness that allows us to do that. So beautiful. Thanks, Maria. Yeah. Bill, please.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. That's a very powerful reflection for me. That story I had heard about before. And sorry, you can hear me?
Yes, can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, and so anyway, it was very moving in a way that I haven't yet grasped, and I just touched onto it. It's got so much depth. But the idea that maybe she inaugurated vast historic panorama with that one gift, that one act. And the subtlety and the sort of nuance of it. There's something in the word of like miracle for me in that whole story. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you and how grateful I am to be reminded of it again.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm touched that you're touched, that it touches me again, and that yeah, for me also having heard this story before, but this time being in India and hearing it and being in the place that it happened and the warmth, the heat and the dustiness and imagining, oh, if I were a hungry, emaciated person and also eating rice pudding there and how delicious it is and imagining that, oh, that's given to me when I'm almost dying. Wow. Well, it just hit me in a way that it never had before in a and as actually as I talk about it, I'm feeling viscerally, in my body. Wow. What? And actually when the Buddha towards the end of his life, this is what I mentioned this earlier, put a little post-it note perhaps during the meditation that towards the end of his life he said that the two most significant meals of his life, one was Sujata's meal, so the what was Sujata offered him, and then it was the meal that he was given right before he died, which actually had some rotten food in it, which caused him food poisoning and he died. And it's not just the food, right? It's not just the meal, but it's the significance, it's the meaning, the emotion that I bet this gifting of Sujata, that the way he gave the meal, maybe, I'm just imagining, I'm opening my eyes, I'm the Buddha, I'm kind of like passing out, and here's this compassionate human being maybe feeding me so that I don't die. It just there's so much in there in this act of compassion. So I appreciate you feeling into that being touched by it tonight, Bill, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, letting it be generative for all of us these acts of compassion that we receive and maybe we give, and we don't know what the implications are in the world. So powerful. So the time has come for us to say hello, goodbye, thank you all, thank you for coming together, thank you for sharing of yourselves with one another, for your practice. May our practice be a cause and condition for goodness in the world, for awakening ours and all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thanks, everyone. So wonderful and lovely to practice with you. What a joy. I am going to ask you, invite you to unmute yourselves. Here we go. Where is that? Yes, there it is. Unmute yourselves to say cacophonous goodbye. Thank
Thank
you
you,
all.
Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. Welcome back.
Thank you, Nikki.
Welcome home, Nikki.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank you, everyone. Thank
you.
Bye.
Rice pudding with whipped cream. Rice pudding with whipped cream.
Take good care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.